Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Kind of wild because this is what gives me a
kind of a passion for where God's leading me and going is because I grew up in a house, if you would have asked anybody, including myself, you know, we said that we believed in God and we believed in Jesus and we were Christians and everything would be all good, you know. And but not one time did I ever recall my parents. I never saw a Bible laying in the house. I never saw anybody talk about God, and I never saw learned anything about God or taught about God's word, or, you know, even saw a Bible laying around. A little while, you know, about middle school, something like that, kind of got an introduction, gone school to church a few times, that type thing. You know, I guess probably like a million other people said a little prayer at 12 years old or so, 14, whatever it was. And absolutely nothing changed except for I went to church a little bit here and there. Lived my entire life that way until I was 43. And my wife and I gave our lives to the Lord on November 15th, 2009. And it's amazing what happens when you actually give yourself to Him. And we got, you know, baptized together. We came to the Lord together. We got baptized together. We went to Pete Cabrera's together. This is a journey since that date has been a journey together, and it's really been a blessing that way. And I feel very blessed to actually have a testimony kind of like that and so short, because a lot of the people that I minister to and that have gone through our classes and identity classes is they're struggling with the bondage of a life in religion. And it's hard for them to accept, you know, who God has said that we are. So I feel really blessed to, at first I was upset about growing up in a home that wasn't, you know, I wasn't church. You know, you think back and say, well, what happened would have happened if something happened during this time. But now, since I am where I am and I have the understanding, I'm very thankful that I grew up the way that I did. God had a plan to use that so that I'd have a different understanding and a clear-cut understanding, and to be able to help people that actually grew up the same way, but also at the same time has been brought down or bogged down, kind of in bondage by lifelong religious like works, trying to achieve, you know, goodness.
That's awesome, man. I know there's a lot of people out here that's been, you know, in church all their lives, and they've been through confirmation, they've been through all these, you know, things that churches put these people through, and they have built up so many walls around them that they don't see, you know, Christ as He really is. They see Him as how their church shows them who He is, whether the Word says it or not, just a persona of what they've been showing. And I mean, it's awesome to hear your testimony, because I can tell you so many people that I've talked to on this show that, you know, that really moved in the power of God very strongly, started out from becoming a Christian when they were older, didn't really know the Lord that much, never had any religion at all, and all of a sudden, you know, they got to a point one day that they couldn't do it, and maybe they listened to a sermon on TV, and all of a sudden they gave their life to the Lord, and the Lord came in like a bulldozer to them and just wrecked them and changed their life. But the biggest thing that I see, go ahead, man.
No, I'm sorry. Go right ahead. I apologize for that.
But anyway, it's the biggest thing that I see is that when somebody is older and they really give their life to the Lord, their heart is more open. When you're a child, you don't really understand it. You're just doing it because mommy and daddy's telling you, or you feel like you need to do it where mommy and daddy will lock you and stuff. And that's not really that's not the reason to do it. It's the reason to do it, you're supposed to do it for your heart because you want it. You want him in you. And that's what really makes the done deal. And, you know, it says in the Word, you know, what you say, Jesus is a heart guy. He knows what's in your heart. He sees what's in your
right.
heart. And that's what it means. I mean, when you say it with your heart, he knows you're for real, and he comes. But if you're just saying it just because, you know, all your friends said it, that ain't from your heart. That's from your mind. And I really feel that. A lot of people say, well, all prayers are cool. They are. I mean, they can be to a point, but I really believe that he really listens to the ones that comes from your heart. And like I said, when you're a adult, they really come more for your heart than from your head. But that's also
right.
testimony, Sean.
And one other thing that I'd like to add to that is when I did, like what you're talking about is when people come and they're just like, you know, broken and like it really in their heart, they don't even know. I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. You know what I mean? I didn't even know where he was going to lead me. And that's really what's kind of exciting is because when you're just in, you're just like, God, just use me however you want to, you know? And my cry out to him is I was just broken, you know, and that was the first thing that he restored is just the brokenness, but what was really crazy is you're talking about people that don't have a lot of religious background or upbringing and him just hitting them. Well, my cry out was just that it was just a heart cry to God because I was just a shell of a man. At this point, and the day that we got baptized, it was it was the original part of a building where the congregation was, and it was the original sanctuary. You know what I'm saying? And they had it kind of live streamed to the screens in the sanctuary, so it wasn't really where all the people were. But what happened? Is we got baptized and then we get dried off and cleaned up and then come into where the sanctuary was, where everybody else was, and I sat down. And right as I sat down, as soon as my butt hit the chair, he told God, spoke to me for the first time, and it just wrecked me. And he said, go tell Pastor Jeremy not to give his circumstance a second thought. And I'm thinking, what am I hearing? Because I didn't even know God talked to people, you know, I mean, it was really, I was so just naive. And right behind it, the enemy came and said, no, you can't do that. He'll think you're crazy, you know. And then so basically I played this ping pong match in my head for the rest of the service. And the pastor didn't always end service this way, but he did on this occasion. And he says, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up and line up across the front. And Pastor Jeremy went straight up and stood right in front of my section. Before I didn't realize it, I was all, you know, almost halfway down there. But what prompted me is right before then, God says, so you're going to steal his blessing. And that shook me to the core, you know. So obviously I'm walking down there and I get down there and I tell Pastor Jeremy, I said, you got to think, I've only been in this church for 3 months. They don't know me. I just got baptized. And I'm telling him that God just spoke to me, and he told me not to give your circumstance a second thought. The other thing that was that seems like a really easy message to tell somebody, but he was dying from cancer. And it still wrecks me today, man. I told him that, and he just looked at me and raised one eyebrow, you know, kind of tilted his head. It was kind of a crazy moment. And I said, I just put my hands up, and I said, I'm just being obedient. You do with it whatever you want to. And I turned around and walked off. You know what I mean? I knew nothing, but I knew God had just rattled my cage and had given me my first assignment. And About 3 weeks later, he came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and told me that he just got his doctor's report the day before. This was Saturday morning on a pancake breakfast or something, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, I just want to tell you, where I tell anybody else. I got my report yesterday, doctor's report yesterday, and I'm cancer free.
Amen.
And that was just a really, really humbling thing that God would use you, you know, like that. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know anything in it at this time. I just knew that I had an encounter with God, and I didn't want to steal a man's blessing. So, but to make a long story short, I got introduced to God never got the praise for that. There was never any recognition. There was never nothing. Not that I gave him a word, but you would think that somebody, it's like it got swept underneath the rug and it never happened. There was no praise. God got no praise in that church for that. Nobody even knew. They just kind of hushed it. And after some other encounters and stuff, you know, I ended up leaving and not even really going to church for a while. And then I got to where I am now, and I'm blessed because my pastor, John Yule, is a kingdom man, you know. So he's really helped to grow me. But it showed me also with the way that I grew up and then with that first experience that there's people that just don't understand. And so,
that's true.
You know, God's just put on my heart to probably a tough, really tough mission field. He's put on my heart for the church as my mission field, you know, to bring people into the understanding of their identity in Christ, who they
that's
are
awesome,
and how they're
man.
Supposed to. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's
next,
it's kind of long, but.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Next thing I want to get into is your school of identity. You went with Pete Sobrero. And what was your mind on the whole school trip? Did you have a agenda that God was going to, you had a lot of questions that you was wanting to give out, or was you just going to show up and see what happens?
Man, I'll tell you, before that even really happened is I ran across, one day I just got frustrated, and I said, even though I'm going to a Pentecostal-type church, I'm still not seeing what the Bible says, right? Church should really look like. And so I think I came in and sat down at the desk and punched in street healing or something like that, right? And all these people pop up. And I really believe the first one was Todd White. So I watched those videos. And then, you know, how different people keep coming up as you just keep working through them all, right? So after all this time, Pete Cabrera and a guy from the Last Reformation, Torben in United Kingdom, and Pete. There were some others, but then Pete. And, you know, I went through. I was really blown away that the stuff, these videos was happening, and, you know, limbs were growing out and different things were happening on the street. I didn't know what to really think. I was excited because that's what I was looking for. But I watched probably 1,000 hours of videos before I went to Pete's, and I was watching their facial expressions and how the people acted around them and all that, because I wanted to believe so bad, right? That's what I was searching for. But at the same time, I'm, you know, I got a background in law enforcement, so I was sitting here going through these tapes like it was detective stuff. But anyway, so I ran across Pete and the different ones that he has, and that one that everybody refers to with the legs growing in and out, back and forth, and
yeah,
and you could
crazy.
Hear you know what I mean, and you could hear the breathing of the girl being in shock watching, you know what I mean, filming the video and all this kind of stuff. I got, man, my conclusion was is this stuff is real, and Pete was close enough for me to get to, you know what I mean. I live in Oklahoma, I was in Kansas, and I told my pastor about it, that's what I was wanting to do, save up and go and do next year. And well, I know it, within 4 weeks, he says, we're investing in the kingdom. We'll send you and Nina both. And they paid for us to go.
Amen.
And we went up there, was real excited. And I was, it was really, really amazing. If I can say, to this point of changing the direction, changing me as a person, and changing just the way I think and the direction of and what I perceive ministry to be, it was the best spent time and money to date that I've ever invested. We went up there
That's
without
awesome,
any
man.
Preconceptions, you know, and it was just a really amazing time.
That's awesome. Now, your first day there, when you got there, what was it like? Was it a lot of people had a lot of, you know, they was just there with questions and wanting answered, what was the rest of the people? What was there? They was about on the same level as y'all were, just curious and just trying to see where this would lead.
Yeah, everybody there was just seeking, you know, and a lot of them did have questions, but it was like this. We didn't do much. We just kind of sat around and talked to get to know each other. It's the atmosphere that really plays a big role in it as well, as far as it's a family. It's in a house. It's like a family. Like-minded, you can imagine, 6 to 10, 12. We only had like 6 in ours, but, you know, these been doing 10 or 12, and it would still just be the same. You get a group of like-minded individuals sitting down. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be on the exact same page. You got the exact same spirit. You know what I mean? And it was instant connection between everybody. So we just sat around and got to know each other the first night. Second morning, Pete comes in during breakfast and says, hey, I know y'all got tons of questions. And if you really need to answer, you know, I'll answer them. But if you'll just give me a little bit of time, I'll answer all the questions. If you have any questions at the end, I'll answer any question you got. And it was really wild because I don't ever remember. Everybody was just listening intently. And there was some conversation back and forth, you know, round tabling kind of. But at the end, nobody had questions. It's just amazing. It was just walking through, tearing down some walls, because it was like everybody there was in different places, you know, but still searching for more. And what the more is what I'm coming to realize is that people are searching it's more of him, you know what I mean? And the only thing that's more of him is accept is your identity and interacting with our Father in an intimate way on a daily basis. You know, humbling yourself to the position that he says that we have. I mean, to me, that's really amazing, and it's humbling. He gives us such an exalted position that we could never even have. That's true humility, man, accepting that and walking in it.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sean. I was just curious. Could you give an example of like some of the walls, or maybe an example, or just talk about like some of the walls that he tore down?
The walls. Well, just like for instance, I mean, and this will tell you, like everybody has so many different ones. My wife grew up Church of Christ. That's all of her family's ever known or done. It's like they traced it back like 100 years. You know what I mean? So in her religious upbringing, which she did grow up kind of in the church some, or a lot more. And that type of stuff went out with the first century prophets. I mean, apostles. There is no healing. So she basically went with me just because I was going. You know what I mean? And she was searching for more. But some of the walls is that you've been told for 30-something years that healing today is not real. Other people, it might be that, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And they kind of live from that position, you know? If you look at what Paul every time he wrote to a church, he addressed the saints, right?
Right.
The set apart ones. But at the same time, what was he doing? He addressed them as saints, but he was trying to pull them and get them to see their sonship. So whatever it is, as far as there's all these different lenses that we see and that we perceive things from, that, you know, somebody might accept one part of the gospel and not the other. So when we take somebody through and just say from and show them really what created value is, we're all created with the same value, right? A created purpose. And we change their lenses on, just say, one topic each day. They have a completely different viewpoint at the end of 5 days. And then you're taken out and shown that what you were just taught and who you are is real. You see a miracle on the streets. Like my wife, she prayed for a lady and her feet got healed. Lady started crying. My wife started crying. The Spirit of God was there. And she's instantly changed from that experience. You know what I mean? It brings the gospel to life, is what it does.
Yeah.
So, you know, God's told me just a week or two ago, he's trying a theological understanding of something that has not yet been experienced by a person is like where James is talking about dead faith. You know what I'm talking about? It's the experience that brings understanding. A theological understanding brings knowledge. You put faith to it, and that brings understanding. And the end result, it equals God's glory being manifested in the present.
Awesome, man.
It's pretty cool. It sounds to me like some of the doubts in your own heart and stuff, and some of the truths or excuse me, some of the perceptions that were actually deceptions you received as truth, or you thought to be true because they were actually you know, and it sounds like some of the unbelief is just slayed and pruned off of you through this school.
What happens is as you go through this, you find out that you have been deceived, right, and where, and then you end up all in the same position at the end of it, and then you're all shown, and then the word becomes, the truth becomes alive. It's the living word, because action is put to it, you know? And so what happens is you have all these different lens, and, you know, because if you think about it, every action that we have is rooted in a thought, right? Whether it's right or wrong. So
right. When
you're introduced to the truth, Holy Spirit's able to do his job, and then you go out and you put faith to the truth, and then God's glory is manifested. So then you start working from and living and operating in your daily life from a completely different position, you know, from a sonship instead of trying to obtain something. I used to think ministry was something I went and did, and it's not. It's who I am. and it's a byproduct everywhere I go. I mean, I'm a carpet cleaner in Moore, Oklahoma, and, you know, I saw them, God uses that and gives me divine appointments, and I saw a healing today. I mean, it's just, it becomes a daily way of life.
Right. Amen. That's what I was sitting here thinking, is Christianity is life, you know, and it's like when you're born again, the life of God.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, and that's one thing that Pete says. That's one thing that Pete says, and I say it all the time because it just really stuck with me, is the most powerful gospel is the one lived.
Amen.
We touch people around us every single day just by being the living expression of Christ in our circle of influence. Without even saying a word, they know. You know,
let me ask you this.
And look for an
question.
Opportunity to share. Yeah.
Okay, so you said something a little earlier about like humbling yourself. And I was going to ask you this question, is how in those hard and difficult times, like when it's hard to love, how do you find strength to humble yourself?
Well, what really helped me on that is understanding created value. Dan Muller puts it like this. You got a Lowe's super center that's got a million products in it, right? They all have each product has its own SKU, which a value is attached to it. Well, I'll take it one step further even in the way that God has kind of built on this with me. You got that same super center. Well, they all have their own SKU and they all have their own price or value attached to each product. You go right up the road to another one, Ace, Home Depot, whatever it is, and they have the same product with a different SKU on it and a different value, right? That's the way the world creates value. They just make it up, right? In God's kingdom, we all have the same created value. Every man that has ever walked the face of the earth, ever will walk the face of the earth, and the ones that are here now, we all have the same created value, and it was the blood of Christ. So when a person is acting out against me or making a difficult circumstance, I think of that. Their value is the same. They just don't know who they are. They wouldn't act that way.
That's awesome.
So what is it that brings man to repentance, to a changed mind? It's the goodness of God, right? So when I see them when they're created value, I see them from the kingdom perspective, then I'm able to still love that person.
Amen. Amen.
It's humbling, man. When we understand that right there is like a perspective change. That's a wall. Or a lens change, right? As you go through these classes and you go from one to another, it's kind of like going to an optometrist and sitting in a chair. It's very small lens changes. But by the time they get through clicking, you see perfectly, right?
Amen.
And then you get taken out.
Yeah, Sean, I was going to ask you, in that house that y'all are staying in, do you feel the Holy Spirit working through y'all? You know, do you feel Him in the atmosphere, just working on the bunch? How is it in that house? What's really going on in there while y'all are living in there them 4 or 5 days?
Well, yeah, you know, at different times I did. And, you know, within you and revelation going on within you. But I'll tell you one thing that I've... It wasn't in the house, but it was within the group. We were part of, I don't know, the video, I think that you said that you watched, the Kingdom Carnival.
Yeah.
And he took us to the carnival. And, you know, that guy kept bringing people up after they had their first encounter, right? My wife and I, you know, in between him bringing people up and other people, we just stood around and it was just praising God and having fun and, you know, fellowshipping. My wife and I peeled off and went and got some bottles of water and went by the restroom, I think, and then we came back. I'll tell you, this is the first time I've experienced this in an outside setting. We got about, people were standing in probably, we kind of were standing in a circle, so it was probably about 10 feet across, you know what I mean? Something like that. And as Nina and I walked up to that circle, probably about 6 foot away from it, we just walked into we felt the tangible presence of God when we got that within about 5 foot of it. We just looked at each other and said, wow. And it was just amazing. So
that's awesome. It's kind of like the light was shining through those guys, and it's like the, you know, like the flies was just coming to the light, you know, like the millers was coming to the light, wanting to get healed and transformed. But it's awesome that you felt the anointing and the presence of the Lord over that area where it was bringing people in. Now,
it was really cool.
Did you also feel in that house when you was going through your training?
Yeah, I mean, you felt the presence of the Lord. I didn't feel it like that, you know, when you're sitting there and you're learning and you know, I felt it more in the presence of God was there because there's such a sense of love and peace there. Does that make sense? It was a different type of manifestation. It was rest and love and peace and revelation being
that's awesome
is what you felt. If it makes any sense. It was a different type of manifestation.
Okay, I was just trying to bring it live to the people listening, where they could kind of have a mind's idea of what you was going through at that time. Now, after you went through the training and they really took you in the Word and showed you who you really was, I mean, before he took you out and you started understanding this, what was going through your mind at that time when he said he was ready to take y'all out in the street?
Oh, I was excited. I don't want to take it up with too much of the time, but I couldn't, after watching all those videos, and my pastor saying that they were going to send me. I think it was 2 months before we actually got to go. And about halfway, about a month before going, I couldn't stand it anymore. I was really wanting to, well, it really wasn't that. I tried to, God put somebody directly in front of me. And I was still watching these videos all the time, right? And I tried to drive by a guy that was leaning up against the wall with a cane. And we know God's telling us to do something, but we kind of like put a blinder on. I was pumping gas and I got back in my truck and made a U-turn and was turning and was going to go out the parking lot and I couldn't. So I backed the truck up. I went over there and prayed for this guy. And it was the very first time. And he was healed, and he was in great pain from hip surgeries and stuff like this. And I was as shocked as he was. I tried to play it off, but I was about as shocked as he was. So, but when Pete said that he was going to take us out, man, everybody was excited. My wife was real excited and you know, nervous excitement. And but it was life-changing. It's one thing to have revelation of something, you know, that's a knowledge of something. The experience is what gives us understanding, you know. As we do this more and more, we get more and more understanding, and it was really exciting and life-changing.
That's awesome, man. Now, When you got home, did that really inspire you to start your own ministry and really go with that?
Yeah, I was actually, for a couple of years, I was going and doing one-on-one down at the juvenile detention center, you know, and meeting with young boys and stuff like that. But I knew that's not what I was going to do forever, but that was where I started. And you know, even just talking to people, that used to be a really big challenge for me, is to even talk to people. What it did is it really changed the direction and the understanding. I saw how when I was talking with people, how they didn't understand the identity message. They didn't understand who they are. They're trying to work to achieve something. I remember the first class that I did, Nina and I do, you know, little 3-day classes because we have other jobs and stuff right now. I haven't been able to, I'm in the business of transitioning, selling my business so I can do this full time. But the first one that we did was a little 3-day class, and we taught a few hours on Thursday night, a few hours on Friday night, and half a day on Saturday, and then take people to the streets to pray, to get them jump started as well. But there was a lady that was in the class that was been in church her entire life. I think she said 50 years or something like that. And she's the one that had the biggest breakthrough as far as when she realized her identity as a daughter in Christ. She just broke down and cried because she's been trying to, she says, I thought God didn't hear me. All this time I was praying to God like he's out there somewhere and that I had to do this or do that right. And when she came to the understanding that that's who she is because of the finished work, right? And who humble yourself to who God says that you are, not who, how you feel or how other people perceive you. See yourself the way God sees you. And when she came to that revelation, it just, it's been life. She actually goes to my church. It's been, she's a new person. There's joy and there's life back. You know what I mean?
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Go ahead, Chris.
So it changed the direction. You know what I'm saying? It changed my understanding of what ministry is. And I remember being up there. Pete asked everybody what it was that they got, you know, what was the main thing that they got through this. I think we were riding back from the carnival that night, and I was the very last one to answer, and he says, well, what about you? And I said, man, you put the pieces to the puzzle that I've been missing of what it looks like. You're living my life. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm just dedicating my life to preach the gospel, man, and not religiosity, right? To teach people who they are in Christ, to break the bondages, to disciple folk, because there's so many people that are just weighted down, and to live it as a lifestyle. Does that make sense? To realize that we are destiny changers everywhere we go, just by living in the identity in which God has given us to live in.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord spoke that to me one time that said, obedience, it kind of dictates your destiny by just being obedient.
Yeah.
Just being obedient
to
his promptings and his leadings, you know, and it's like, and not only that, but it like, it kind of opens, it changes somebody else's realities in their life, you know, so it's like you, when you bring that encounter to somebody, it is life changing. I mean, it's the reality of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, coming into their life. Because like you were saying, there's so many. The thing about deception is you don't know you're deceived. You know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. If you look at like the you know, Malchus's ear when Peter cut that off, you know, in the garden. He just rebuked Peter of how he was still acting in the old man, right? You know what I'm saying? The way that he's always acted. And he put his ear back on without even saying anything to him. I promise you, that man was wrecked because his ear was once on the ground. He rebuked the guy that did it. He fixed his ear, and then he humbled himself to be arrested by him. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Right? So what that shows me is as I live and walk out my day every day, the encounters that I have and how I act in each, and how I go through each and every encounter can affect the people that are around me. I don't go preach that. I explain what I think that they can handle. You know what I'm talking about? When I pray for somebody or something like that, right? And receive a healing. But I'm telling you, the seed's planted at that time.
Absolutely.
You know, the seed's planted.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. What was your very first miracle that you got to see when you just started praying?
That one I told you about. I was actually at work and I needed some gas, and I pulled into a gas station, kind of a rough part of town, and filled up my truck, and I looked over to my left, finished filling it up, put the handle up, and got in my truck. And as soon as I got in the truck, you know, you look up, just look forward. There's a guy standing there with a cane and all kind of bent over. And I thought, oh, I knew God put him directly in front of me where I couldn't even, or I couldn't deny it, but I still tried to because I was scared. And I hadn't even been to pizza or anything yet. I didn't have any idea, nothing, no understanding. Just saw some videos. So anyway, I started the truck up, made a U-turn and started to go the opposite direction and pull out of the parking lot. And God said, no, you don't. I said, okay. So I backed up and got in a parking spot and walked up to him and said, hey, I know this might sound strange to you, and I see you're standing here with this cane. Are you in pain right now? And he says, I'm in pain every day. It's kind of irate a little bit. And I said, I understand, sir. I said, God uses me to take that from people. Would you like for me to take your pain? And he kind of looked at me crazy, but he must have been in so much pain. He said, yes. And I just said a simple prayer, you know. I said, and I explained the gospel to him a little bit. And I said, I'm not, it's not supposed to be like it, you know, like everybody sees it on TV. It's not supposed to be made funny. It's supposed to be the way we walk. And Jesus loves you. And he just broke down in tears. And I said, he's going to touch you right now. All pain, leave this man's body right now in Jesus' name. And I said, I just took a step back. I said, check your hip. And he went down to the squat position. His eyes got big and, you know, he went up three or four times and was trying to find it, and we just laughed about it, and it was really, it was amazing. Actually, I got a testimony of that one on a video. That was my first item. It was my first video. I at least put it up to encourage others. You know, God will use a willing vessel, man.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Tell people about your booklet and stuff that you're wanting to do with your identity school and all that.
Okay. Right now, I'm actually, it's turned into kind of like a book, a training manual type thing. And what it's basically supposed to do is it's going to be a guideline for, you know, myself to kind of teach out of. Anybody that gets a hold of it could actually get it and teach a class. Somebody could get it and read it, and it's basically everything that from creation to the who God is. You know, because if our perspective with God is wrong, right? Most people have God that's smaller than their problem, or they wouldn't be worrying all the time, right? So So it basically starts with our perception of God and the creation of man, the fall of man, the redemption of man. It just is basically the gospel through our new identity, old man and new man. I got a part in there called really the gospel, man. As we grow in this, the abundance of life comes from a divine exchange program. You know, we change one thought, a worldly thought, for the way God thinks on that circumstance or that situation, and it brings a different outcome. So it's it has to do with all this going through the entire gospel from the, you know, what was lost in the garden, right? And what was introduced, which was selfishness, right? We take on the identity of the adversary, where Eve was deceived at her point of identity, where Jesus, after being baptized and walked out into the desert, where did Satan tempt him at and attack him at his point of identity? It goes on to talk about us today and our identity and how, you know, Satan doesn't have any power over us. He's just counting on us not to know who we are. By us not knowing who we are gives him power. So
that's it, man.
You know, the economy of the kingdom is something, a revelation which God's given me, is how it ends up. I haven't got that part actually done yet. But it's, you know, right now it's probably 250 pages or so. It's going to be awesome.
That's awesome.
And I never thought I'd be writing a book. I never was a good student, but God said, hey, this is what you're going to do. And I said, okay.
That's
started
that's
getting
really
revelation
awesome,
and things to put in it, you know? So,
yeah. That's really awesome, man. Another thing I'd like to ask you is, what is the name of your ministry now?
Rural Identity Ministries.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of did a spin off of the Royal Family International because I realized that we are we are brought into a family of royalty, and our identity is the key. And if we don't understand our identity, we'll never walk from the victory in which Jesus placed us in.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Now, if somebody would want to get in touch with you, how could they get in touch with you, Sean?
Well, either by Facebook or the contact on our, you know, button on our webpage. And it's Rural Identity Ministries. It's at www.ruralidentityministries.com, and you can go to contact, and they'll, when they do that, it'll send me an email. Even by my phone, I don't mind putting the phone out there. I'm there for, this is what I do. And it's area code 405-250-0491. And, if I don't answer, leave a message, because I do have a full-time job at this time until the sale of my business, and I'll get back with them, man. This is what I did.
That's awesome, man. It sounds like you really have a true heart for the Lord, man. That's awesome.
Yes, sir. He radically changed my life, and I'm very blessed and thankful for it, and I see where other people struggle, and he's just put a heart there for lost folk, but also healing. It's to live the gospel and to help people live it, because we can be victorious. We are victorious, and we can live from a victorious state. You know, It's amazing.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. I do want to tell everybody, if they want to listen to the show more, or just they will listen to some more shows that the Healing Light has done, just go to the Healing Light Show on Facebook, or just go on Blog Talk, looking up Healing Light Show, locate 77.7. That would bring you closer to our show. Or if you do want to find my archives, just look up Reverend Stan, Blog Talk Radio, locate 77, and a lot of times the search engine will take you straight to my show, and you'll get to see I had, the other day I had over 194 shows that we have in archives. So we have a lot of shows we've done over the years. So we've had a lot of awesome ministers that's been on there. Art Thomas, we've had Art Montgomery, Jason Wade, we've had a lot of people on there. Brooke Potter, Brooke Potter's helped Pete with teaching these identity schools, and he has his on here. Rafael Garcia, he's on here. You can find some of his shows. And it's just awesome to see how God really, really uses these people. And one thing that I remember that Brooke Potter told me about this, about Pete and identity program, he said there was a minister one time that was going out with these guys to do street ministry, and he didn't really understand his identity. He was still in his, what you want to call, the state of mind of living under the law and plus living in grace. He was kind of in between there, but he would stand back and let everybody else pray for people, but he wouldn't really do it himself. Then all of a sudden, he starts seeing people praying, people getting healed, and then all of a sudden, something clicked in his mind, and Brooke Potter said, he said, I felt the presence of God just open up in him. He said, we just fell back. It was like a bomb went off in him. And then he started praying for everybody. And God was, you know, blowing through him because he was starting to get his identity, who he was, who he was kept from for so many years of what he really was. It was finally opening him. He finally understood it. And when he understood it, that was the key that turned that on. And that's the one thing that you know, Sean is trying to tell you tonight, is the key to turn on your walk as a son and daughter in God, is to knowing who you are in them. And then when you know who you are, that's when you turn that key and you walk in that prophetic, you walk in that healing gift, you walk in all those different gifts because you understand. But until you understand, you might can walk in a little bit of that, but you will never get 100% in that, because you only get 100% when you know who you are, as Jesus did. Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly who he was. There was no doubts in his mind who he was. And it was only maybe, you know, Peter was the only one that didn't really know, but God spoke through his mouth and told him that. He said, you know, he said, Peter, who am I? He said, you are the Son of God. And he said, only the Father could have told you that. See, Christ, you know, Christ knew who he was, but Peter had to be told by the Father, by the Holy Spirit. So it's unique, because once you know your identity, Christ came on this earth to show us how to walk in this. And then once he showed us how to walk in this, he opened the door for the whole world. He opened the whole door for us. Believe in me, ask me into your heart, and boom, you're there, you know. And that's the thing. Once you understand who you are in Christ, and then the doors open, and then you start building the kingdom for Christ yourself. And that's the thing. That's what all these guys is trying to teach. But Sean, that's awesome that you've got your mind opened up and learned who you are in Christ, and got you really charged up and on fire for the Lord to start your own ministry, and you're out doing it, man. That's awesome, man.
Hey, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's so awesome. And thank you so much again for coming on here tonight and giving us your testimony and your story.
Thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.
It's been a real awesome night.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a good time.
And like I said, I want you know, everybody to check out his website. You know, go on Facebook, look up Sean McDowell. You know, look him up.
McDaniel.
McDaniel. Look up. And give them your website one more time.
One other thing I'd like to put out there, it's not finished yet, but when it does come out, the book or the manual is going to be Your Predestined Identity and Learning to Walk in Your Supernatural Inheritance. That's what the manual is. So if they see it, they'll know who it is. And it's at www.royalidentityministries.com. Same thing on the Facebook and that stuff as well. Royal Identity.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Just go and check him out on Facebook and, you know, just give him a message. If you want him to pray for you, you want to know more about his ministry and about what he does for the Lord, just send him a message and he'd be more than happy to talk to you and probably get you into some type of class and help teach you if you want, if you're in his area and you want, you know, want to check out and see what he's doing. And go ahead.
We appreciate it. If anybody wants us to come and hold a, you know, a Thursday through Saturday class at their church or what have you, just give me a holler. That's what we do. We work regular jobs, but right now we've been going and doing these, you know, 2 or 3 day things at other people's churches or, you know, in different areas or what have you.
That's awesome.
So I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to come on and share everything. This is like what I said. I go to sleep and then I wake up and I'm on. It's a lifestyle in which we teach, and when we get there, that's the way the kingdom's going to be advanced everywhere we go, and that's what it's all about. God's glory on the being brought to earth as it is in heaven through our hands and through our speech. It's just amazing.
That's awesome, Sean. That's awesome. And thank you for coming on the show. And thank you again, Chris, for coming and co-hosting, as always.
Oh, yeah. Good times, man. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Good to meet you, too, Chris.
And,
yeah, same here.
And we'll see you all Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Me and Robert Hager will be on preaching the Word of God. God bless y'all, and we will see you then.
Darkness hides. My faith is dead. It's stronger than